Today's podcast is sponsored by Atomic Golf. If you need custom ball markers, divot repair tools, and more that are made from high-quality materials like solid copper and brass and look really good, then you should check out our friends at Atomic Golf. If courses like Old Barnwell, Landman, Sweetens Cove, and more are already working with them, then you should too. Visit atomicgolf.club and follow them on Instagram at atomicgolf.
This is something you get better at as you become a more veteran caddy. I certainly have gotten better at it, so much so that I was with a caddy this year, a young guy who much thinner, much younger, much quicker, and he kept marveling at my speed. This is the first time in my life somebody just kept talking about how fast I was.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, you're right. And welcome once again to the Caddy Tales podcast. I'm Mark, the caddy. I'm here once again with my sidekick and fellow caddy, Nick. And we are excited to talk about how golf mirrors life, life mirrors golf, and there's so many lessons that transcend both the course and our everyday comings and goings. So really fun and excited to be with you again. How are you doing today, Nick?
Doing well, Mark. I think spring's coming. I can feel it. You know, we got Masters right around the corner. Golf on TV. Love it.
Yeah. Speaking of that, I was traveling this weekend. I went to visit my daughter, and I didn't get to watch any golf on television, but I did, you know, follow occasionally along on X. But what did you think of the tournament this weekend?
It was good. Matsuyama was hot at the end there, playing out of his mind. So that was good to see. He's kind of the hot golfer right now. I think he played pretty well last week at the Waste Management too. Good to see Will Zalatoris hopefully starting to figure out his putter. That was kind of a hot topic, what his putter looked like. I've seen those before. I've seen players use those putters before. They're kind of weird looking, but whatever gets the ball in the hole, right?
Yeah. I had to laugh at a couple of things I saw with Hideki. One, there was I don't know what shot it was, but he kind of acted all upset after he hit it, kind of slumped his shoulders and stuff, and it ends up like a foot from the hole. Yeah, and I thought about how many times, the players do that. And I saw something on X that somebody said that a caddy over in Ireland or Scotland would tell a player they had boujolais when they acted like that, and it was that's the word that they use for early wine, and I'm like, oh, that's just awesome.
That's a good
because
one,
there's so many times guys act all upset and then the ball's like right next to the hole.
I would say like one penalty stroke for early whining, you know.
Then his caddy was right on brand. I saw the picture of him hitting his dab pen while he was waiting for other groups to finish, and I'm like, wow. He's a caddy, I guess, this caddy, but certainly I've seen and heard of that kind of antic going on.
Yeah.
But, last week, with the Waste Management, this week's topic kind of gets teed up for us by the tournament that happened over this weekend. Last week, you remember, we talked about how important is golf etiquette to us. And we talked in light of the Waste Management with all the chaos. This week, we are going to talk about pace of play. And I had to laugh at just all the tweets. I mean, this is a passionate topic for some people. Patrick Cantlay in the lead in the final group. And man, the venom towards him from some people on X is amazing. And really, really critical of his pace of play. Mm-hmm. And I got to thinking, you know, is it important to me? I'm just going to say right off the bat, it's one of the most important things to me as far as my quality of life as a caddy. If you asked me, you know, on a certain day, of course you want to maximize your earnings over the course of a season. But if you said to me, Mark, today you're going to make 15% less with this group, but you're going to finish 40 minutes quicker. A lot of days taking that group that's going to play 40 minutes faster. I don't know what you think about that, Nick.
Yeah, I agree. Sometimes, like, it gets a little monotonous out there with all the waiting and everything and trying to make small talk all the time. It can be a little painful sometimes.
Yeah.
Me more than you, I think, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm a little more comfortable with that than you are, but there's plenty of days that I'm out there with players who aren't comfortable with it. So I'm just kind of standing there and
they're hoping frustrated. For things
to speed up. So, you know, let's set the scene for our listeners here. We work at a major resort, and the golf course that we are on predominantly is very, very, very difficult. But it's just big. It's a big endeavor. And so when we go to the starters table, set the scene for our listeners, the assistant there will tell our players always that the pace of play is 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I see two general reactions to that. What do you think is one of them right off the bat, Nick, especially from people who belong to a private club?
They'll gasp and say, you know, oh my gosh, how's this round going to take 5 hours? That's incredibly long. You know, it's not even like a thought, like it's not even possible to them, but yeah.
Yeah. And they'll say something like, oh, we always play in three at home. Yeah. And, so, you know, right off the bat, you're like, this might be a challenge because it's just a different thing. You're walking with four people instead of in a cart. People don't know the course. So there's got to be more thinking and explanation.
Yeah, a lot of picture harder. Taking. Pictures, yeah. You know, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. And then the other reaction that I see, and this is one that actually like has become a warning sign for me rather than a sign of hope, is players will say, oh, you're not going to have to worry about us. And I actually write about that in my book, Caddy Tales. Well, you're not going to have to worry about us. We play fast. What that tells me is that they're not that self-aware. Yeah. Because every group says they play fast. I have never met a player yet who has come up to me and said, hey, Mark, good to meet you. I'm glad you're going to be my caddy. I just want to let you know I'm really deliberate and slow.
Yeah, never.
Everybody thinks they play fast. But there are some who come to the course and are extremely humble in their approach toward it. Mm-hmm. And then there are some who think it's just going to be like a normal day. Mm-hmm. And so you're not going to have a problem with us. And I have found quite often you do have a problem with them. So, you know, pace of play is something that because we work at a busy course is stressed. And we're going to talk a little bit later on about how you can go too far with it. You know, for those of you listening, we don't want you to think we're just going to trash players here for the next 30 minutes about being slow and how it's aggravating and all that kind of stuff. But we do think that it kind of matters for how the day goes for everybody. It just makes for a more pleasant experience, even if the time difference isn't all that different. Just the consistent pace is even helpful for people, and emotionally, psychologically, all that. So, you know, what are some things, Nick? Let's maybe help people understand from our perspective, what are some of the time drains that exist out there that they make for a slower round? And if people kind of were more thoughtful about it, or if these habits didn't exist, everybody would move quicker. Can you think of one?
Yeah. I mean, usually it's like someone's pre-shot routine. So usually figure that out right away. Like on the first tee box, you see somebody waggling like 10, 15, 20 times, and you're like, oh boy, we're in for it today.
Yeah. I have a strong opinion about, or an observation about the pre-shot routine that might surprise some people. But I'll ask if you agree or if you've seen the same thing. Who do you think is more, who do you think takes longer, for instance, the younger player or the older player?
Probably the younger player. I think the older guys usually, you know, kind of have it figured out by that stage in life, hopefully.
Yeah, no, I think it's not even probably. I think by a long shot, like younger guys maybe have watched golf on TV more with some of the current players and mimic some of that stuff. And older guys tend to be, you know, all of them that are out there tend to be pretty type A guys who have been used to being in control and in charge. their whole life, and they play golf the same way. Mm-hmm. But some of the pre-shot routines are crazy. Have you ever seen one that just kind of blows your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen guys that like adjust their gloves like way too much, and yeah, like I said, like the waggles can get out of hand sometimes.
Yeah.
What else? Like alignment. Like a lot of guys will. I've seen players, which is illegal, but they'll like lay a club down before they even line up, which is kind of weird. But I don't know. It's all trying to, you know, be better at the game, but some of these things are taking a little too far.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like you don't want to rush people, but you also are like, oh boy. And yeah. So like I always, when I have a guy who, I actually had one guy a couple years ago that I remember though, like he was the exact opposite. Like he just got up and it wasn't even a pause. Like not only did he not take practice swings, he didn't even pause for a second. And so there was numerous times during the round, I didn't even see him swing because, you know, you're looking down for a second.
And that happens a lot. Yeah.
So there are certainly those people, but so pre-shot routine's a huge one. And I just feel like they're getting longer. That would be my non-scientific observation, is that even in the 5 years that I've done this job, they feel like they're getting longer. And certainly amongst the younger players.
Yeah. I mean, I think like you just go up and hit the ball. Like the more you can take your mind out of the game, I think you're going to be better off. So that's how I feel about it.
But. Yeah. I mean, think about how many times have you seen a player either do a putt or hit a shot, you know, shank it, whatever, after a very long, deliberate pre-shot routine, and it's terrible. And then in anger, they get up and hit it a second time, and it either goes in or straight down. The talent is there. It's their mind that screwed up the first shot. So you want to just say, hit the ball. It will help you. We promise. Mm-hmm. So there's one. Another one, and this is especially true, I think, Ryder Cup year, when people are playing matches and they're close, the time spent on the greens. I mean, do you have some loops where it just feels like people are looking at those putts way too long?
Yeah, I mean, if someone asked me for a read, like, and you're like a foot or two away, I'm just like, straight, just, you know, just hit it in. You know, I don't even really look at it. I don't know. I get it. I get it. Those Ryder Cup matches and stuff are fun, but when you're putting everything out, it's annoying.
Or even, you know, like when people want a precise read from like 100 feet, you know, it's like, just lag it up there, you know?
Try to get it close. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if it goes in, it's not because we gave you the right read. It's pretty just lucky, you know?
It's a miracle.
And you know, I always think when I say stuff like that, there's some listener who's like, blocking us and will, you know, never ever listen to us again because they think we're being flippant or negative. I mean, it's just statistics. And the same thing is true on the PGA Tour. So if they don't make them, we're not going to have a high make rate either. And so it's like, it lag it up there from right to left, you know, and we don't need to hit an exact blade of grass. But, you know, I think that the time on the greens is really, really long. I would say of all the things that people, when they have a caddy or when they come to a place like ours, of all the things that maybe they think is that they're going to benefit from or that they're going to do better, it's putting. And sometimes that's true. I mean, I'd like to think we're saving people strokes and really helping them. There's no doubt that happens. But there's also, I think, just that it can kind of be excessive, or we can over deliberate, you know, and and I've even seen young caddies who are like when they're afraid of their players, like let's say you have a younger caddy or a less self-confident caddy and he's with this CEO of a company who's just got that kind of personality, all of a sudden he's afraid to tell him a spot because he doesn't want to be wrong and be yelled at or glared at. So then he's like kneeling behind him. Then he's running around the back of the hole and kneeling. And then he's acting like he's solving some complex mathematical equation. And And so it's there's so much that goes into it, along with the speed of the putt. It could hit a pebble, mm-hmm. whatever, that mm-hmm. I have become more laid back about it. But it, yeah, a lot of time is spent on that. One that I know you mentioned to me when we were talking at the coffee shop the other day is people looking for golf balls.
Oh,
you ever
yeah.
think we look too long?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, give it like a minute or two, and if we still can't find it, then, you know, call it, drop one down and, you know, yeah. play on from there. But yeah, it's like the Ryder Cup thing, like you said. I mean, if you got matches, you know, guys will look for like 5 minutes, and it's like, I don't know. That's just doesn't seem like it's in the spirit of the game. Are we having a good time? Like, not really. So let's move on.
The one that I always, the thing I always have to laugh at is, when there's like, say, a creek or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and it's clear the ball went in it, you know, mm-hmm. and from a tee shot, for instance, and how players still, a number of them still just go up and walk along the edge
mm-hmm.
and just stay or just look at it. And I'm like, looking at it, being sad about it, isn't going to make it there, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. it's, and, you know, there's, again, there's the flip side where I have players who won't look for 2 seconds for a ball. Yep. You know, there's that too. And I want to say, dude, we do have some time here.
We can look, but, yeah. We can give yeah. it, we'll find it.
Yeah. yeah. But then there's other times where it's like, you know, this is so far offline. And in mm-hmm. I mean, we'll give it a few minutes, but you know,
it's kind of off topic. But I've seen so many people like go in for a ball too, and like I'm like, what are you doing? You're gonna fall in the water and like completely ruin your day for a $3 golf ball. Like just let it go, yeah. just drop another one. You got more in the bag. So, I guarantee it.
I have been in there. I've been in there. I was on a course and player hits it on a par 5 into a creek
mm-hmm.
and it's clearly in there. We see the ball, you know, finally, mm-hmm. but it takes forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, we need to drop another one. And because, you know, there's 4 players, I start walking to the other guy. Okay.
Yeah.
You had given the guy information, you know, we're 150 yards out, whatever. So he hits the ball, but then all of a sudden I hear a splash. And the guy he just couldn't give up on the golf ball.
Oh, geez.
And much like a lot of players, I mean, he's a high net worth guy, but you know, he just had it fixated in his brain. I don't want to lose this golf ball. Mm-hmm. So he falls in, and it was like early in the round, not even halfway through. Mm-hmm. And it was chilly. It wasn't like a warm day. And so he has to call the pro shop and have them deliver pants out. And I saw the pants were $265. And I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't happy. I wasn't like laughing at the guy. But in my mind, I'm like, was it worth it? You know,
yeah.
it's just a golf
$3
ball.
$3 golf ball, yeah. No
yeah.
kidding.
And I'm pretty flippant about golf balls. I find so many of them. I mean, if I don't see it, I'm like, oh, that's gone, you know. And mm-hmm. I can see how maybe others aren't as flippant. But mm-hmm. and they want to save the strokes and they want their score and they're playing a match maybe and all that. But there does come a point where it's like, there's some guys who it's like, they'll look forever and you mm-hmm. got to be kind of like gently persistent. Like, hey, mm-hmm. I think we got to go, you know, because you also feel like a failure because you didn't find it, you know?
True.
And
true.
So it's kind of it can be an awkward situation. Mm-hmm. I threw out on my Twitter yesterday, if anybody had any questions, and one came up that relates to the next time drain that I want to talk about. A guy, John, and he had some weird Twitter handle, so I'm not even going to try to say it, like X2DGF3, whatever. He asked, you know, how can you convince players that it's not rude to like go and tap in their 2-foot putt or continually putt? And what he was really asking is, how can you convince people that it's not rude to play ready golf? And I think one of the time drains that you'll have is when people don't play ready golf. Mm-hmm. And that's something that, like, you know, I get it. On the PGA Tour, there's you know, the person who's furthest away hits the ball. But it's really, that can't translate to recreational golf with mid to high handicappers and all that kind of stuff. It's got to be ready golf. Yeah. And especially, and I think we might have even mentioned this last week, especially when you have two sets of people who don't know each other.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be very polite. It's not that they don't, it's not like they're jerks. It's exactly the opposite. It's not that they want to play slow or whatever. They just haven't set that social standard that they're not being impolite if they hit the ball. What do you think?
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I completely agree. And yeah, I guess it's just like you just talk to them before the round and tell them, you know, guys, we're going to play ready golf today. So just be prepared for that. And
yeah, and sometimes you have to tell them every hole. That's one that, like, especially on the greens, I'm like, okay, you're 2 feet away. Mm-hmm. Tap it in. Don't mark it. Let's go. You know, tap it in. And is, you know, or the gimmies or whatever, just tap it in and let's keep going.
I was like, on hole one, I would say, like, you know, we got to establish that gimme circle early. And, you know, if somebody's got like a 4 footer or something, I'll kind of give them like a, oh, that's good, right? You know?
Yeah. And some people, you know, say right off the bat, there's no gimmies. And then, you know, it's like, hey, how about we do some continuous putting or whatever. And, you know, so that is a time drain that exists, is not playing ready golf. If everybody stayed back for the person who was furthest away, I can't even begin to imagine how long those rounds would be. And I know there's some purists out there who are like, you're going to get hit by, no, we have some ways that we can do, get ahead without being in the line of the ball and without obstructing the person who's hitting and all that. But like I said, the challenge that I find in this, the underlying challenge to all of these things that we're bringing up is what happens on television and what is in the official rules of golf that you want to respect, especially because golf is that kind of gentleman's game or gentleperson's game. They don't translate very efficiently all the time to what we're doing. Yeah,
agreed.
And so you got to have some flexibility. There's got to be a spirit of the rule. Last one that I wanted to touch on, and this is one where people will even tell you before the round that they're going to do this, and then they hardly ever do it.
Okay.
And that is, they say, we pick up at triple bogey. Or we're playing a match, best ball, and so if somebody's out of the hole, they'll pick up.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know how many times they don't pick up?
All the time, yeah. Everyone's played every hole.
Yeah, yeah. And again, I get it. But, you know, if somebody's languishing for a 12 on a par 5 when their partner's in 5, it just, you know, it's unnecessary time as it relates to pace of play. As far as it relates to the experience and their happiness and all that stuff, that's a different discussion or argument, but it certainly doesn't help pace of play. And so I have found guys who play together at the same country club to be kind of the exception to the rule there. Like, they have very established social standards. And so if they're a pickup on triple bogey kind of group, you're picking up on triple bogey. You know, like, these guys play together all the time. They know the expectation. Have you ever seen someone just get super upset, though, because of pace of play issues out there?
Yeah. I mean, I've been a part of a few groups where we've been the group, and that can be kind of awkward. And actually, I can think of a time where I had a group from New York. And for our viewers, if you're unfamiliar with playing New Yorkers, playing with New Yorkers, they're a little different than you and I. Mark and I are, you know, nice, calm Midwesterners. We've got a way of saying things to people, and New Yorkers can be a little different. And so one time I was caddying for this group of New Yorkers, and they were the slow group all day. So we get to like hole 4, and the marshal is on us all day. And my guy's standing over his ball, and the marshal's like creeping up on us in the cart. And, he can hear this. So he steps away from the ball once. Marshall creeps up again, stands over the ball. Marshall creeps up again. And then I think on like the third time, he's like, you know, I can effing hear ya. And, And he's just going off on the Marshall, and I'm like, oh boy, this is gonna be terrible. So then, like, we get the hole nine, and we see the pros out at the turn, and that's never a good thing, because he's gonna yell at, he's gonna be like, dude, what is going on with your group? Why are you so slow? You're holding up the entire course. Like, everyone behind you is complaining. So yeah, they just didn't get the memo all day, and it was just misery. But you know, what are you gonna do?
And you know what I find about groups like that too, is they're probably one of the groups at the starters table who said, oh, you're not going to have to worry about us, we play fast. But then when confront, and we tell people, like, if you're slow, there's going to be somebody there to speed you along, you know, they're told and then inevitably they'll use this phrase, I paid a lot of money to be here. I'm going to enjoy my round. And it's always hard.
Like, so is everyone else, you know? Everyone else has paid a lot of money to play here too, and they want to have a good experience.
And I mean, I totally get it. But that's something that you'll have. Now, speaking of New Yorkers, this will kind of veer our conversation to the flip side of, we can get a little carried away with pace of play. Occasionally there's that marshal who's maybe just a little too zealous. And there was a hole we got to, and we're within half a hole of the people in front of us, you know. And he says, you know, he says something like, close the gap or whatever, or stay on them. And I, you know, I didn't think of anything in a moment, but we're walking up the fairway after the tee shots, and I'm pretty sure my guy must have shanked his shot. I'm not sure. I can't remember that part. But the litany of F-bombs up the fairway, and the slamming of clubs, and the absolute tirade was, you know, uncle. And I'm like, man, I am just, I totally am not getting tipped well today, because this guy is angry, and it's going to spill over into everything else. And I was right. Absolutely true. And, you know, he was just, he was all New Yorker. And by the way, people, we generally love New Yorkers for many other reasons. They're just, there's no doubt that you can spot one. They're different. And, but usually different good. So anyway, just absolutely going nuts the whole way up. And so actually, whenever I had seen that marshal the rest of the year, I would warn players, like, hey, he might say something to you, but we're fine. You know, like, I would try to, a preemptive strike or whatever. Because the challenge for us is, and I, this has probably come up on all these topics we've been doing, is that we don't want to have an adversarial relationship with players, and yet we have this job to do, and we have to be responsible to all the people behind us too. And so how do you guide people without getting contentious and having them mad at you? And, you know, and I would say sometimes some guys are too rough. And then sometimes some caddies are like, ah, don't worry about it, because they don't want their tip to be affected or whatever, you know. And there's probably somewhere in the middle, you know. Another example of where I think, like, people, we have those players who, like, are so concerned about pace of play. It's like we mentioned, they won't hit a or they won't look for a lost ball. Or sometimes this happens. This has happened a lot for me when I have a wife with her husband, you know, an older retired couple. That demographic tends to be very, I don't know if they like joined a club later in life and had pace of play beaten into them or something, because they are skittish. It's like, you know, apologizing after a bad shot right away, or, oh, we got to go, we got to hurry. And so, you know, you'll see that, quite a bit. And so we want to just kind of walk that line between, of course, like, let's have a great day. Let's make this pleasurable. Let's not rush. And at the same time, let's be deliberate and, keep things going. So, and like everything, you know, there's some days it's easier than others. You know, before we conclude here today, Nick, tying into this topic, we want to do our good caddy, bad caddy segment. Okay. So let's use an example that, we've thrown out there. You're out there. It's, four guys playing their match, and you know, there's a group in front of them, a group behind them that is also part of the same group. And this match has got big stakes, and it's the last day. and there's a lot riding on it as far as that group is concerned. And so you've got you've got guys who are standing over putts like for minutes on end and, you know, all just talking to each other about each one or whatever. Or you've got that guy in the group who's not doing well and he's not picking up his ball though. Okay. So you've fallen behind. You're now two holes behind the group in front of you, but you're with some guys playing for big money. You're with some guys who think their match is the most important thing happening at the course that day. You're two holes behind. How does Nick handle it?
I think I would just like you've said before, there's usually like a leader in the group, you know, the guy that's kind of set everything up and, or, you know, he's got the scorecard usually. Talk to that guy and be like, hey, we've got to talk to the other guys and be like, we gotta pick up the pace a little bit. If we could like establish like, you know, 3 foot gimmies or something like that, that would be great. That's how I would handle it.
Yeah. I think that's one of the ways. And then I think this is something you get better at as you become a more veteran caddy. I certainly have gotten better at it, so much so that I was with a caddy this year, a young guy who, much thinner, much younger, much quicker, and he kept marveling at my speed. It was the first time in my life somebody just kept talking about how fast I was.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, you're right, right? Mm-hmm. And it was because I knew how to, you know, like, as soon as that player swung his club, I had the bags on the shoulders and I'm going to the, you know, like, watching it, having the clubs, you know, you're deliberately, and so you're trying to stay out in front of them and set the tone.
Yeah. You know, leading by example,
Yeah. And, you know, some days you're tired and it's hard, but especially with the slower groups, you really need to stay out in front of them, establish the pace. Like you said, there's usually a leader that you can go to. And then, you know, if need be on a tee box, you're going to say, hey guys, this is where we're at. And I want to let you know that if we don't speed up, they're going to come out and move us ahead a hole. Okay. And sometimes you got to give them the tough love. And, I'm one who believes strongly in it. And so I'll do that. But, you know, there's others who that would make them, other caddies I know who that would make them entirely uncomfortable. But
you've been like in the group behind a super slow group before, and you know how that feels, and you know how that sucks, and so you kind of always have that in the back of your mind. You're like, all right, we can't be the slow group because we're gonna make everybody behind us miserable, and then it's terrible. So we've got an interesting perspective being caddies, you know. We've seen it all.
And, well, this gets back to something that I think is just part of all these discussions we've been having is if golf is set apart, and if it's a gentleman's game, and if it's one where there's honor and respect and all of that, that has to include how we respect the people around us. And if I had a criticism of golfers after doing this for 5 years, if there's something that I would say it's not my favorite thing about them, is that the type A nature of many, the boss-like nature, means that very often they're not as open to direction as maybe you would want them to be. They're used to being in charge and in control, and they're also used to being the powerful person in the room. They're used to being the person that people are accommodating. You know, that's not always true, but it's often true of people that we meet. And so a lot of times I think that the world is revolving a little bit too much around them. And so that would probably be the, and that can kind of lead into other topics and stuff, that a little more humility and a little bit more respect and gracefulness regarding the people that are around you would be something that I would love to see a little bit more of. And, and so, you know, we will continue to do our part as caddies to help, you know, make it an enjoyable experience for all, and to just do the best we can to say we are going to have a great day out here. And part of that includes how we just approach the day as well. So, all right, Nick, thank you as always. This was fun to talk about. Look forward to shifting gears here in the next week or two to some other series of topics that we have planned. Hope you listeners out there are enjoying our first few episodes of Caddy Tales. We look forward to growing with you. And this is Mark the Caddy reminding you that just like on the golf course, on this side of the ground in life, there is always a next shot. So go ahead and take it.